Our little bundles, bundles of joy, we call them at the start of the school year. Everyone, every parent, who posts a photo of a little grade R pupil in an oversized school uniform with a giant suitcase, trying to make their way into the school and tags it bundles of joy. We are very protective of our little learners, as well as the ones who are a little bit grown up as well. As we embark on the second wave of the resumption of schooling for grade R's, grade 11s and grade 6s, I'd like to hear from two of our teachers' representatives, to talk to us about what their feelings are. You would remember last week we spoke to a teacher here in the Western Cape who would like not to be named, and she was very concerned about the conditions under which she has to work. David Millar in Rondebosch is the CEO of NAPTOSA and joins me right now, and I'll also be joined by Mokoena Maluleke, who is the Secretary General of SATU. Good morning, David. What's your view on this?
Good morning, Rafilwe. Thanks very much. Well, the virus has certainly recast education in South Africa, and it's certainly complicated efforts to resume daily routines for most of society. Our view, on the 1st of July, we sent out a national newsflash that said, please delay the reopening of schools. And I think the national minister saw the light, and a lot of protest action, especially in the Western Cape, possibly made us stand up and take note. Reveal that the virus isn't contained. There's a lot of angst amongst teachers, parents, and school communities at large. And nothing yet, whatever you read, whether it's from the South African Pediatric Association, from Prof. McCulloch, or from international studies, data currently available cannot be considered as enough evidence to definitively state that children cannot transmit this disease. Right. That's the concern. Yesterday, there was a fascinating cartoon in one of the national newspapers. It was Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf, and the wolf was cast as a coronavirus. And Little Red Riding Hood said, you can't do anything to me. And the wolf replied, I'm waiting for you to take me to Grandma's house. This is the concern. There's not enough definitive evidence or evidence that's not unambiguous enough yet to say children don't transmit and that their viral loads are not as high as adults. It's winter, it's flu season, and this virus acts very much like flu, even though it's not part of the flu family. So NAPTOSA has called on a delay for the opening of schools till early August.
Okay.
Looks like that is going to happen. Nothing last night in the press statement said when schools definitively need to reopen for the other grades, but we presume by early August, mid-August, and you're talking about 13 million children back at school, yet we're still reaching a peak. Other countries have waited for the curve to flatten. Then they've started to talk about reopening schools. But we seem to have been going all guns blazing, get as many children back to school as quickly as possible.
But David, those countries that have actually waited for the curve to flatten and let their children back to school have definitely experienced flare-ups. It's natural that with more movement, there will be more transmission. I mean, why the significance of early August? How far can you push this out?
Well, they said that this virus is going to be with us for a few years. And we all recognize that children have to be back at school, especially in a country with such inequalities such as ours. But it seems very strange that in a country where we're still looking at putting up triage centers, the Eastern Cape, for example, cancelled its grade R's returning today because the masks are too big for their faces. They recognize that not everything is in place. We've always said put health and safety first. If you can't put health and safety first, then you can't reopen.
Indeed. Okay, Mokoena Maluleke, talk to us. What are your thoughts around that? You know, this what David's highlighting, precious grade R's, the masks are too big for their faces. But do you think we could have differentiated responses, maybe province by province? What is it that SATU would like to see happen?
Good morning, and good morning to David, and thanks for having us. Indeed, we really appreciate the time. I wish to share the sentiments by NAPTOSA SATU that indeed we had indicated to the minister and the entire education community to say that we would have loved a delay in terms of bringing more learners in the schools because of the unpreparedness of some of the provinces, indeed. And even those that I say they're prepared, they still have some problems when a case is reported, schools keep on being closing. So at the end of the day, when you close the school more than 5 days, 7 days, you are also defeating the very same objective and the noble objective of having the children to receive education, because it is not one teacher, it's more than one teacher. and therefore it will keep on being closed. For example, if you have a school that identify a case, it decontaminates today, it reopens the following day. Next week, there are one teacher with a case, you have got to close, and when there is a learner, you've got to close. So yes, a differentiated reopening of the schools was an ideal solution, because you would then be recognizing the fact that there are hotspots. And in those particular hotspots, you cannot begin to be reckless in your decision and you just open it up, because the virus doesn't move. It is moved by people. Mm-hmm. So the more people moving out and meeting and so forth, especially us in education, we are a social environment. We bring more people together. It's not 5 people. It's not 20 people. We bring 200 learners in grade 12. We bring about now 500 learners plus grade 11. Clearly, it is that, because until such time that there is a research done in South Africa about these susceptibility in terms of spread by the learners, we are always going to be having these particular fears and concern by the parents, because in other countries we have not seen the high number of children, a high number of learners really are being infected in South Africa is something else. So now I think it deserves to be attended to. Sure. In our own view, it is that we should have delayed and studied the situation, and so that we are then able to be very much ready to be able to respond to all the things that are being asked and so forth. Look,
thank you for the response. Until when would you want the delay? I mean, are you doing this on a time basis or is it on a readiness basis?
We do it on both, because at the end of the day, it is that the other provinces are not ready or they're ready. And also this question of time, of us really being led by science, okay? Led by science that is done in South Africa in terms of our own condition, our own climatological condition, will able to assist us to say, well, how is this particular virus evolving and mutating in our own circumstances? Why is it that it's different from other countries? I mean, other countries have got fled, and I understand what you are saying today, but they didn't have this type of numbers of learners, even if they were at home, to be having infected as much as we have in South Africa. I mean, if you look at KZN and Gauteng, the numbers are shocking for the learners. And indeed, it is something that we would want to say to the minister, when it is a hotspot, please close the school. If it is peak time, close the school and wait for the CAF to be under management. The WHO's advice was simple. Do not open the schools when you are not able to manage the cases. Have a management and then we can open the schools.
So our problem here, very much like our health sector, is that we may never be ready, right? So infrastructurally, we might never have the perfect conditions that, say, Switzerland might have. David, what do you say to people who say to you, or parents who say to you, I need my kid to get back to school. I need to focus on work. It's now level 3+. I would have taken the child to the grocery store anyway. What's the difference?
Well, I've got family too, and they try and keep their children at home as much as possible, especially the burden of coaching. Parents have that choice, and that choice was made clear to them from the very beginning, that if they want their children back to school, they can get them back to school. The only problem for me there is that it's going to be very taxing for teachers to prepare lessons and instruction for two modes, which is virtual and in-person. But fortunately, schools have been given the option to choose a kind of a hybrid approach, where children can attend 2 or 3 times a week and then take work home and do self-independent or self-regulated work. So nobody is stopping parents from sending their children to school. My next-door neighbour sent her child back to school, and he's loving it. So it really is up to individual parents and how they manage it themselves. But we've done a really good job of knowing that this disease is a killer. It's obviously not safe to reopen until there's a vaccine. Everyone talks about vaccine. That's not going to happen soon, either. So parents do have that choice, and schools are doing a blooming good job making sure that children who don't go to school, because remember in the beginning, the minister said, if you don't send your child to school, you have to deregister and homeschool. Yeah. And there was an uproar around that. You can't force that on any parent. So what's happened now is many schools have given parents an option. Please, if you don't feel that it's safe for your child to come back, don't worry, you don't have to deregister. Just make sure that whatever work we send home, your child is going to do to try and stay up to date. But it's nothing like face-to-face in a classroom with a teacher.
Gents, in 30 seconds, Mugwena, I'll give you, or David, the final word on this one. In 30 seconds, please. Parents have the choice, but teachers don't. What are your words on that?
Well, yeah, the parents do have a choice, but the teachers don't have a choice because they have got a contract with the Department of Education. But I think the minister has got to be very sensitive because he don't want us to be having to be fighting each other about the issue of health. It must be something that unites us. We need to stand in solidarity with each other, and therefore it doesn't mean that we don't have a choice. We don't have lives. We do have lives, and we have got to be very sensitive around those particular issues. And I think in these instances, it's important that our leadership in the country pay attention to what the teachers are saying so that we do not find ourselves being forced to close the schools because we think that the leadership is not listening to us. That would be unfortunate.
James, thank you very much for your very candid views.
Thank
good
you.
Luck in the week ahead.
Thanks
with the new
much.
Ones. All right then. David Miller, CEO of NABTOSA, and Mugwena Malulege, who is the Secretary General of SADTU. Thank you for joining us this morning.